Welcome to Spoon Press Audio, the podcast for your daily story fix with your host, author, and award-winning entrepreneur, Anna M.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anna M, and welcome back to Spoon Press Audio. My story, Don't Know Jack, is nearing its end now. Today, I'm going to be reading to you chapter 12 already. And I'm curious to know, have you got any idea what's going on here already? Have you solved the mystery? Or are you still in the dark, as I am? Anyway, here then is chapter 12. The shower is running. Jack can hear it before he opens his eyes. He's sitting on the tiled floor in his bathroom, his back to the wall. The room is filled with white steam. And then Jack remembers. The men with the machetes. Fear pierces his veins and his heart begins to thump in his chest. He scrambles to his feet, almost slipping on the wet tiles. There's condensation everywhere. Holding his breath, Jack reaches for the shower curtain. He hesitates only a second, then pulls it aside and heaves a sigh of relief when he sees that there is no one. He turns the tap off and the sound of running water stills. All is now quiet. He holds his breath. He listens. And then, all of a sudden, a familiar voice calls his name from somewhere inside the flat. Jack, are you here? Is that Susanna? No, it can't be. She isn't. Jack, she calls again. Answer me. It is her. She's back. Jack unlocks the bathroom door and comes bursting out. When he sees her, joy and relief spill over him. Susanna is standing in the lounge, amongst the shards of wood that was hacked from the front door. The couch is overturned and the boxes of fabric samples are lying all over the place. The curtains are ripped down. When Susanna sees him, her tear-stained face washes with relief. Oh God, thank you, she cries out. They run towards each other and Jack pulls her close. He feels her body trembling against his. I thought you were dead, she sobs as she clings to him. When I saw the state of that door, oh Jack. I'm fine. We were in the bathroom when they came in. We? She sniffs and pulls back to look up at him. There was someone here with you? Jack remembers the image he had seen in the mirror of Charlotte, sound asleep on her bed. The woman said, when she wakes up, she won't remember what had happened. So why confuse and distress Susanna even more now with details that don't matter? She's been through enough. No one was with me, he lies. I misspoke. I locked myself in the bathroom when I saw the two men. They wore black masks. They were armed. Susanna's eyes grow wide. Oh, dear God. Do you think they were the same men who took me? That they've come looking for me here? I don't know. Jack studies her face. Susanna, what the hell happened tonight? Who were those men? What did they want? Did they hurt you? She quickly shakes her head. No, I'm okay. They just, wanted money. Jack stares at her, trying to take it all in. It feels like a dream, as if none of this is really happening. He keeps looking at her, trying to convince his eyes that she's really there, that she's safe. But he feels removed, as if he's watching it all play out on a movie screen instead, as if it's all staged, all fake. And yet, there is the gaping hole in the front door where the men had broken through. It must be a trauma response, he realizes, feeling this numb. Oh, Jack, I was so scared, Susanna says and buries her face in his shoulder. They've threatened to kill you if I didn't give them £5,000. I, of course, I told them I don't have it, that I need to talk to my father. Your father, Jack frowns and holds her away again so he can look at her. Susanna, when I went to the police, they said they couldn't find any trace of you or your father online, nor of the business. They said... She looks taken aback. You went to the police? Of course I did. What did you think? Two men grab you and bundle you into a van and I'm just going to, I don't know, come home and watch some telly? The sarcasm cuts through his voice and Jack flinches when he sees the hurt on her face. Sorry, he says and pulls her tight again. Sorry, sorry, sorry. I am just... God, it was horrible. When they took you, I freaked out. How did you manage to get away? She hesitates. I'm still not sure exactly. It's all happened so quickly. They got distracted somehow, I think. They were arguing, and so I just went for it, and I ran as fast as I could. Oh, Jack, I was so scared. I swear, it's all a bit of a blur. I couldn't call you because they took my phone and my bag, all my things. So I just ran and ran until I saw a cab. I hailed it and came straight here. How did you pay for it? Jack asks. Sorry? The cab. You said the men took your bag? Yes. Luckily I had some cash on me. Just a couple of notes stuffed in my jeans pocket. She sighs. I'm just so relieved to be here and to see that you're okay. Jack kisses her head and closes his eyes, willing his fluttering heart to still. We have to let the police know, he says. They'll be out looking for you. Susanna pulls away and looks up at him. Her beautiful eyes are filled with tears, her lips trembling. Oh, please, Jack, can we not do that right away? Can we just, I don't know, have some tea first? We have to report this, Susanna. I know, and I will, but... Please, just give me a sec to collect my bearings. She covers her face in her hands and starts sobbing. Jack's heart aches to see her like this, and the old familiar guilt comes back. Did he cause this? Did these men take Susanna because of him? Because of this turn-of-the-sky nonsense? What would he have done if they hurt her? Or worse, if he had been responsible for another death? It's okay, he says, stroking her hair. Of course we can do that. Come on, sit down, and then I will make us some tea. Susanna is shivering now. He can hear her teeth clattering. So he goes to the bedroom to fetch a blanket, and when he comes back, he sees that she had closed the front door, or rather what is left of it, and turned the couch up again. He stops. Oh, I don't think we should touch anything, he says. In case the police want to take a look at it, or dust for prints. Yeah, you're probably right, she says. I didn't think of that. She slowly sits down on the couch, and Jack drapes the blanket over her shoulders. Good? He asks. She nods. He goes to the kitchen and switches on the kettle. While making two cups of tea, he keeps glancing at Susanna. She sits quietly on the couch, staring out in front of her. And he so badly wants to ask her more questions, find out exactly what happened and why the police think she's lying about her identity. But she's clearly shaken, and there will be time for all that. When he brings the two mugs of hot tea over to the couch, Susanna gives him a weak smile. I have a massive headache, she says. Would you be a dear and fetch my tablets from the bedroom? Jack leaves the mugs on the coffee table and goes to fetch the pills. When he comes back, Susanna is sipping her tea. She's pale in the face, and when she takes the tablets from him, her hand is shaking. I think we should phone for a doctor, Jack says, so they can check you out. No, I don't want to. But Susanna, you... Jack, please, I'm fine. Can we just sit here and have our tea for a sec so I can get my ducks in a row? I beg you. He hesitates. Sure, he says. And then he reluctantly takes a seat next to her. He picks up the mug. When he takes a sip of his tea, it tastes sweet. He must have put sugar in, although he can't remember doing so. He doesn't usually take sugar, nor does Susanna. But right now, the sweetness is welcome. And so he takes another big sip. After the third one, Jack suddenly feels lightheaded. You okay? Susanna asks. Yeah, He frowns. The room begins to spin. The mug tips in his hand and hot tea spills over his leg. Here, let me take that, Susanna says and takes the mug from him. Why don't you lie down? I don't, Jack tries to protest, but his tongue is thick. The words come out slurry. He can't stay upright. His body begins to lean over backwards. And as he goes down, it suddenly hits him. The tea. What did you do? He can feel the soft pillows of the couch behind his head, and then his heavy eyelids fall shut. As he drifts away, Jack hears a man's voice. Is he out? The voice asks. Yes, I put quite a lot in his tea. That is Susanna's voice, but she sounds different. Jack struggles to hold onto her voice as she continues to speak, clinging to the sound of it as if to the string of a balloon. This can't be happening. Is he dreaming? Then, Jack, honey, can you hear me? Susanna asks, ear close to his face. With a lot of effort, Jack wills his eyelids open, just for a second, long enough to make out the two faces peering down at him in a sliver of light. Susanna's face, and the face of a man, bald, with a black beard. His eyelids fall shut again, and Jack can feel himself losing grip on the string. The balloon floats away, and he sinks down into the blackness. The last thing he hears is the man's voice saying, "Good job, sweet cakes. This guy caused me to crash my bloody bike the other day. Time for payback." In the white room in the sky, the three females are all peering at the book. As the little girl pages through it, all three have deep frowns on their faces. "It doesn't make any sense," the girl says. "Where did all the words go?" "This is bad, very bad," the woman with the grey hair says as she looks at the now blank pages. "The text was still here a moment ago when he wrote in the back." The girl pages to the back of the book. "The writing is still here, see? Where he wrote about the apple and about getting out of here." All three click their tongues in unison. "Silly boy," they then say. "But what does this mean?" the girl asks, turning around to face the two women. "The book is disappearing," the mute woman mouths in silence. "But why?" the girl insists. Then they all gasp and look at each other. Together, in a chorus, they say, "Because it was never written." Someone is approaching, and the three females look up to see a girl carrying a large sketchbook and a box of crayons under her arm. "Ah, there you are," the woman with the grey hair says. "Do you have any news? Did you find him?" The girl nods and opens the sketchbook. Pulling a crayon from the box, she starts scribbling very fast. When she's done, she turns the page over so they can see. "Good God," all three females exclaim in one voice. Again, the girl scribbles. The crayon moves so fast now they can barely see her hand. When she turns the page towards them again, she has drawn a sequence of small pictures depicting scenes involving a woman and a bald man with a beard. Slowly, the grey-haired woman sits down on the chair. "This is far more serious than we thought," she says. "We're going to need some help." More scribbling. When the girl turns the page towards them again, the three females stare at it for a second or two. Then they all frown. "Are you sure?" they ask. The girl with the sketchbook nods. "But how can that be? Surely we would have seen the signs." The girl shrugs, then turns the book back and scribbles again with the crayon. They wait for her to finish, and when she turns it, there's a picture of a camera with a long lens. The three females give a unified sigh, and then the mute one mouths something at the others. "She's right," the woman with the grey hair says, and she pushes herself up from the chair. "Time to go and wake up Charlotte Harding, then, is it?" A wide grin spreads across the little girl's face, and she slips the crayon back into the box, satisfied. You have listened to chapter 12 of my story, Don't Know Jack, I will be back soon with chapter 13. In the meantime, send me your feedback to spoonpress_UK@gmail.com and look for me on Facebook and Instagram. Also, please follow or subscribe to this podcast and give this episode a rating so we can push those numbers up. Thanks, guys. We will chat soon. Have a good one. Bye.
Welcome, all story lovers. Dive into the enchanting world of Spoon Press Audio, your go-to podcast for a daily dose of fiction. Whether you fancy brainy masterminds, gutsy heroes, or cheeky lovers, we've got stories to captivate you and sweep you away from the ordinary humdrum of your day. Created by the award-winning author and entrepreneur, Anna M., Spoon Press Audio is a perfect blend of laughter, intrigue, and suspense. But also, these stories are specially designed to boost your brain power and mental well-being. So be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us on an epic adventure only at Spoon Press Audio.